This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic, magnificent Wednesday, even though it was a rough first hour. And so we are, look, I just got done beating up on the White House a little bit. It's time to beat up on the regular GOP a little bit. Then we'll do some emails and other things on the Jesse Kelly Show. So there's something that's kind of been sticking in my craw. And in fact, I'm going to piggyback off of what we just got done talking about, how we crave a people's champion. We always have, don't we? We want somebody to rise into a position of power, and instead of only caring about themselves and other powerful people, they care about us. You and me, a real servant's heart for the people. That's what people want, right? That is what people crave. And it's so rare. You get to these positions of power, and what do you end up caring about? Other powerful people. I brought that up because there's something that is bothering me a lot. Arctic Frost. Do you know what Arctic Frost is, in case you've been in the mountains or something somewhere, a bit out of pocket? Arctic Frost was that Jack Smith FBI investigation where they were gathering up cell phone information from everyone, from influencers, even though that's such a stupid word, from conservative organizations to United States senators, tracking phone numbers, who they talked to, who they text, where were they? A real invasion of privacy stuff. That was Arctic Frost. Now, pause for a moment. I want to rewind back to January 6th, really post-January 6th. A lot of people are not aware of just how horrific the federal government was with people, their rights, and their privacy after January 6th. We're talking a dragnet where they would find out anyone who was in the vicinity and track their purchases and things like that. That's how bad the federal government got with people's private information from January 6th. They just decided this was the end of all things. They could violate everybody's civil rights. So if they wanted to hunt you down, steal your cell phone, they did it. They did it to over 1,000 people. Now, not United States senators, but normal people, you, me, did everything they could to rip up and ruin lives. Okay? I'm going to play you something. Little clip from Fox News. You know how we just had that bill, the CR that's making its way through the government? Well, I hope you didn't think there was nothing added to it. The GOP, the Senate, coming fresh off information that their privacy had been valid, threw a little something in there.
Now, the way this provision is written, it's tucked away on page 217 through 229 of the funding bill. Senators could bring lawsuits and sue the federal government using taxpayer money if federal law enforcement seizes or subpoenas their data without notifying them. The damages could mean each senator could get $500,000 for each violation. Democrats in the House not amused by this. In fact, the leader of the party, Hakeem Jeffries, hoping some Republicans cross the aisle to join Democrats and take this provision out before it's passed.
Okay. Is there a provision in there for me? Or you? I know you're not a senator. I'm not a senator, but the normal Americans who had their lives destroyed by all these evil government agencies, do they get to sue? Or is it just senators? I'm super, super happy the GOP Senate did a special carve out for the GOP Senate, but where's your carve out? I don't know how many January 6ers are currently listening to this show or family members of them. Do you think you have a carve out? Do you get to use taxpayer money to sue the government when they grab your information? In fact, did any one of these senators even propose such a thing when it was being done to you? These people are supposed to serve us, not themselves, not their rich friends. They're supposed to serve the people first. Your senator, whoever it is, should have you as a priority over themselves. That's how it should work. That's how a good, just society should work. Instead, the GOP Senate passed, I don't even know, I should actually add it up, but I don't think I want to know the number. How many CRs got passed after they did this same thing to January Sixers without a single GOP senator putting a carve out in there for them? How many CRs did they vote for time and time again without this carve out? More than you can count. What was it, every 6 months it seems like one of these things come up? But when they finally find out it happened to them instead of happened to you, well, now we need 11 pages. I'm going to sue with someone else's money.
Now, the way this provision is written, it's tucked away on page 217 through 229 of the funding bill. Senators could bring lawsuits and sue the federal government using taxpayer money if federal law enforcement seizes or subpoenas their data without notifying them. The damages could mean each senator could get $500,000 for each violation. Democrats in the House not amused by this. In fact, the leader of the party.
Good job, guys. I am happy, super thrilled to hear that you're going to look out for you. That you, if your rights are violated, you're going to write it into law that somebody has to burn for that. So good job, but anything for me? No? I've read it, by the way, in case you're wondering. I read the carve out. Not a word about you. Not a word about me. There wasn't a care in the world when innocent, oftentimes poor Americans had FBI SWAT teams throwing them in the back of vans, had all their information hoovered up, had their civil rights violated time and time again, nary a word from the GOP. But the second a GOP senator gets his text messages hoovered up by the FBI, now we got to start throwing some carve-outs in here. This is against the law. I'm upset. I'm in a bad mood today. All this stuff has me in a bad freaking mood. It's a good thing we don't take calls anymore, Chris. It'd be a bad day. Bronco, when I sign into my email, I get the Yahoo News feed. It's nearly always a story slanted to hurt the administration. Used to make me mad, although I could see through it. Now, so actually I wanted to talk about this briefly because there was something I don't want us to lose sight of because we are so in the bubble. And in fact, this story happened to my wife today. We lose sight. I'm going to talk about Democrats and the media. It's time to go pound on them for a little while now that I'm sour. But we lose sight of how susceptible normies are in this country to propaganda. To Democrat propaganda in the media on Yahoo News and Google and Wikipedia and CNN and MSNBC and all these ones. We rail against them. You love to beat them up. I love to beat them up. We call them soulless evil commies, which of course they are. But let's not forget that there are so many normies out there. They don't have your ability and your willingness to seek out the truth about information. They read it on Yahoo News, they turn on CNN and they see it, and they believe it. They believe it, and then they march forward and act as if the outright lie they just heard was true. You know what happened to Aub today? She was in a woman's group. I don't want to go into the details, protecting names and sources here, but she was in a woman's group that means a lot to her. And a lady in the group, black lady, said, Charlie Kirk said a lot of horrible things about people like me. Charlie Kirk never said a racist thing in his life. there's a bunch of fake video out there that's been cut up and manipulated to make it look like he did, but that wasn't who Charlie Kirk was. But now this woman's group is ruined for my wife. She came home. She was so bummed. She said, I can't go back now. I can't go back now. How many drooling morons out there believe the things they see in Yahoo News? And that brings me to Democrats controlling the media. Next.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. You can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So back to what we were discussing. Wife ran into it today at one of her woman's groups. Just some brain dead moron lady. She was a black lady talking about Charlie Kirk. Had a lot of horrible things to say about her, which of course is a lie. The internet and the communists spliced up a bunch of video to make him look like a racist who didn't like black people. And that's not what he said at all. But is this lady a communist? No, she's just a moron. She's just a normie. Just a normie. She believes what she sees on the news. She believes when she logs into Google, it's the news. When she turns on ABC, it's the news. When she logs into Twitter, on Facebook, that surely no one would lie. Oh, no, I saw them say it. This is why communists think, talk, and act like this when it comes to the media. Communists need control of information because it's all based on lies. They lie about everything all the time. So if you're lying about everything at all times, you need 100% control of the sources of information in order to keep women like that brain dead moron in the world of make-believe. You can never allow her to see the truth. This is why they talk like this. Listen to this.
We obviously released some.
We need our electorate behind us, all parts of our electorate. We need the media, and we rarely have the media. So how this story gets told is going to be a really important piece right now. They're going to have to go up against all of Trump's media apparatus, right? Social media owned by his cronies, legacy media that always has a little bit of a skew bias towards both sidesism. Both sidesism always benefits Republicans.
Why would both sidesism benefit Republicans? And I know you're laughing and rolling your eyes, but the media's all on their side. No, she knows. She knows it's 95% on their side. But if I'm lying to you about everything all the time, I can't afford you to have 5% of the truth. If I have you trapped in my house, let's say you're my kid, and I've never let you leave the house, and I've told you you're not allowed to leave the house because the lawn is molten lava, and you step out of the house, you will die. Well, I have to cover up the windows, and I can't cover them up 95%, because if you catch a peek through there and you see that it's not molten lava, then everything else I've told you comes apart. If I'm telling you the truth about the lawn and what's outside, I don't have to stress you finding other bits of information, hearing from other sources. When I tell the truth, I don't have to stress. But if I'm lying to you about everything at all times, 95% control of information is simply not enough. I have to have 100. So when Democrats complain about the media bias, don't think that they're being dishonest. They mean it. They cannot afford 95% control of information. It has to be 100. This is why Elon Musk has probably more personal security than Donald Trump himself. Why? Because communists are trying to kill him. Why? Elon Musk bought one of the largest, most powerful social media companies on the planet and stopped censoring out the truth. For the communist revolution to succeed, people have to stay as brain dead, uninformed, and stupid as that woman in my wife's group today. They have to believe things that aren't true. Otherwise, they break free. The communist lies about everything at all times. Jesse. Oh, this is about my secret club. I mentioned yesterday that I'm going to start a secret club. I mentioned that we're going to have a cool lodge and comfortable chairs. We are going to have secret rings that have a phone number in them you can call if you ever get in trouble. And I also mentioned that there are going to be rules. Certain people are barred from entry. Men under 5'10", there will be no women. So on. And of course, now everybody wants in my secret club. Like this lady, Jessie. I was all in until you said no women. I think you should change that. You will need someone to do the laundry and cook the meals. And you could use membership dues to pay for an additional chapter of your book, which we are still holding on to our breath over. In a week from now, I'll hopefully be putting the final touches on that. Don't think I haven't been working on it. I have. Yeah, it's almost done. It got a little longer than a chapter. It kind of kept going and going and going. I'm giving it to you. It'll be free. Again, I'm probably going to email it. What, Chris? What? It's not another book, Chris. It's a chapter. It's not another book. Don't sit there and accuse me. No. It's not. It does not count as a book. Maybe a booklet, but that's not a booklet. Is not a book. A booklet. No. A booklet is not a book. No. Anyway, lady, our secret society has to remain a secret. Our covert operations, which I haven't decided what those will be yet, they have to remain a secret. The very existence of this secret club has to be secret. How long is that secret going to be kept if we let women in? Not very, all right? Not very. I'm sorry. You can't join. We will let you do the laundry, though, on occasion. I also want to encourage you during this season of giving to consider giving $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers. And this is an especially wonderful time of year because they'll let you know when they're doing these things. Tunnel to Towers in this season, this is when they give out these smart homes to catastrophically injured veterans. This is when they pay off mortgages to these fallen first responder families and Gold Star families. This is when it happens. This is when the magic happens. Do you want to be part of it? You want to be part of it. You want to know when you get that story about this family and this widow that you were part of it. $11 a month is how you become part of it. When you give it automatically, you never know it's gone. You just get to enjoy the emails. Go to t2t.org. T2t.org. All right? Emails. Next.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Wednesday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. And you know, Ask Dr. Jesse Friday's coming. Don't forget to email your questions, your comments, jesse@jessekellyshow.com.
In the name of a just, merciful God.
Let's clear some out. Jesse, I was listening to Mr. Kelly say he once ran for political office. On the night of the big election, he lost. He had to go to his supporters at the hotel. Did Mr. Kelly really do this, or is it a joke? Because he makes fun of political figures, and he really took a chance and did this before? I ask because I once considered running for office. What advice would Jesse Kelly really give me? No, I really did it. Look, I'm stupid. I make huge, impulsive decisions that are life-changing. I quit my job after I lost my two congressional races. I moved back to Washington, D.C. to work in politics for a year. I hated it. And I quit my job without a job and put my family in a minivan, and we just drove across the country looking for work. I do really, really stupid things, and it often ends in catastrophic failure. This job that I've now been doing for 7 years is probably the one that I've ever done that it actually worked out. So after all these horrible strikeouts and disasters, decided to take a chance on a media career, and here I get to talk to you coast to coast every single night from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time, or if you download the podcast on iHeart, Spotify, and iTunes. So this is like the only one that ever worked. Yes, I got mad. I was mad about Obama because he's a dirty freaking liar. I mean, this Obama.
We will keep this promise to the American people. If you like your doctor, you will be able to keep your doctor, period. If you like your health care plan, you will be able to keep your health care plan, period.
If you like your doctor or health care plan, you can keep it.
Nothing in this plan will require you or your employer to change the coverage of the doctor you have.
The only change you'll see are falling costs as our reforms take hold.
If you like your healthcare system and your doctor, the only thing reform will mean to you is your healthcare will cost less. I will not sign a plan that adds one dime to our deficits.
Yeah, you get the idea. Thanks to Tom Elliott, by the way, for putting that one together. Anyway, I got really mad when that guy got elected president. Knew what a dirty commie scumbag he was. I decided to run for Congress out of the blue just because I was mad and I make gigantic stupid decisions. And I almost won. I lost by like 4,000 votes. They had to recount the thing for a week. What advice would I give you? Well, you're going to die one day. On your deathbed, assuming you are lucky enough, very few of us are, but assuming you are blessed enough to be surrounded by loved ones on your deathbed, and you're going to have time to reflect on the life you lived, are you going to wish that you had thrown yourself into the fight? Or are you going to say in that moment, thank goodness I didn't take a chance? If you have considered running for office, any level of office, do it. Try it. Look, take it from someone who lost twice. Losing isn't the end of the world. In fact, one of the best things that ever happened to me, I'm so glad that I'm not in Congress. But try it. Throw yourself into the ring and go try it. Look at all these dirt balls we have in office. On the GOP side, by the way. The Democrats, we know how evil they are. Look at how many dirt balls are in office. That's in large part because good people don't run. They don't want to run. They feel like they're not smart enough. They're not qualified. I don't have perfect hair. And I don't know how to speak in front of people. These are all things. Well, maybe not the perfect hair. I'm never going to have that. But learning to speak in front of people, into people, these are all skills you will acquire over time. Even if you don't become some person who loves speeches and loves the stage, you will learn to comfortably get through a 5-10 minute speech. You'll learn to shake hands, look someone in the eye. You're going to have to raise money. You're going to have to put in the work. These are skills that come to you. All these people that are in office haven't been doing this forever. If you're considering it, go do it. Jesse, what's your favorite modern aircraft? I have to tell you something, and I know everyone's going to make fun of me for being an old soul. I know Jewish producer Chris is. I can already tell he's gearing up to make fun of me, even though he can't even beat Corey in chess. I actually don't care for modern aircraft. I very much appreciate modern air travel, don't get me wrong. It's great that you can be almost anywhere, 2-3 hours at least anywhere in America, which is the only country that matters. I like that. I like that we have big jet planes and passenger planes and cool fighter planes and stealth bombers, and I like it. I do like it. I like prop planes, older prop planes. And you know how I know? Because there's always an air show somewhere down in the Houston area where I live. There are planes flying overhead all day long. Helicopters flying overhead all day long. I'm talking about passenger planes, even fighter jets, all day long. I don't give them a second look. The second it's some Mustang from World War II flying overhead, I look up and like a little kid, I can't stop looking until it's gone. I'm looking up at it and I just think, that's freaking cool. And I don't understand why I'm that way, but my favorite plane of all time is the B-17 Flying Fortress. That is one of the first planes that we used in World War II to bomb Europe, bomb in Germany. It was eventually replaced by the Super Fortress, which was bigger and stronger and faster and superior in every way. But the B-17 Flying Fortress, when I was a kid, very, very briefly, in fact, maybe I should get into this again. I started to get into model airplanes. You ever do model airplanes or at least know about them? Where it comes in 8,000 pieces and you have to have this little thing of glue and you're slowly gluing the whole thing together. And I wasn't even good at it because I'm not artistic. So I had too much glue here and this wing was half falling off there. But I got one of these, I think it was for my birthday one year. Nothing big or extravagant. We didn't do that, but a little B-17 Flying Fortress. I think I put this thing together in a day. I just sat over there obsessing over it. And once I had it together, I would just go play with it by myself, not with friends, not with. I would just go play with it all the time. What, Chris? Chris said, wasn't it not climate controlled? Oh, yeah. There's no climate control. I mean, these guys would get frostbite up there. It was frigid. I mean, up where you're flying, it was frigid. No, I mean, climate controlled. The freaking sides of it are open for the side gunners to put the machine guns out the side of it. No, there's no climate control. There's the lack of technology in those older planes terrifies me. And in fact, I think about it because I'm not a nervous flyer. It's not a big deal. But when I look up today and I see those World War II planes or World War I planes that are air show planes and they're out there practicing, I look up at them and I think to myself, oh, be safe. Because there's just the technology wasn't there. It wasn't advanced enough yet. And yet they're up there, 20,000 feet. They're up there. And flying bomber runs, and they're basically made, yeah, Chris, of tin foil. There's nothing to them. It's not like they're bulletproof. So these German fighters and flak are coming at them, and guys are dying. There's a reason half these guys died. Half of them, our bomber crews, half of them died. More guys died in the 8th Air Force. The 8th Air Force was the one bombing Europe. More guys died from the 8th Air Force in World War II than Marines died in the Pacific. That's a bonkers stat. It's true. You know what else is bonkers? You have health insurance? Did you check and see if you were part of the latest data breach? One of the largest health insurers in the United States of America just got breached. Why do I keep bringing these companies to you? They get breached. This one got breached. That got breached because they're getting breached all the time. These online thieves work day and night to break into these companies for your data. They want your phone number, your social security number. They want your information so they can financially destroy you. They will take out loans in your name. They'll pretend to be you, and you will wake up one day with an empty bank account. That's how it works. Can't ever get a loan again. Credit wiped out. How do you put your life back together if that happens? How do you maybe prevent it from happening? LifeLock. LifeLock has been trusted for as long as they've been trusted for a reason. Protecting people, making people whole. You want to save up to 40% your first year? Go to LifeLock.com and use the promo code Jesse or call 1-800-LIFELOCK, promo code Jesse. Terms apply. We'll be back.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. So, yeah, here's a nice little pairing with all this H-1B talk. How do companies use these things? Is it just, hey, man, we've looked far and wide for an American to fill this position. There just isn't anybody. We have no choice but to go over to China and grab someone from there. Is that how it works? Let's hear from Palmer Luckey. He's the guy who founded Oculus. It's this virtual reality thing. How does this work, Palmer?
Of course, there's so much H-1B of use. You would not believe what I saw when I was in Silicon Valley. It is insane. It's obviously a program to try and replace U.S. workers with basically slave labor that can't ever escape. It's like H-1B of use is crazy.
That's why this kind of thing is not going to fly.
H-1B visa thing will not be a big priority for your administration, because if you want to raise wages for American workers, you can't flood the country with tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands
of foreign
workers.
I agree, but you also do have to bring in talent. When
well, we
a
have
country
plenty of talented people
no,
here.
You don't. No, you don't.
We don't have talented being, people
no,
here.
No, you don't have certain talents, and you have to people have to learn. You can't take people off an unemployment, like an unemployment line and say, I'm going to put you into a factory where we're going to make missiles.
Mm. That's one of the worst interviews he's ever done. I think they know it by now. It's been 24 hours. I'm sure they know it. I don't know what the plan will be. I guess maybe in the back of my mind, I'm hopeful tomorrow. Maybe by the time I sit down here tomorrow and you and I get to chat, maybe tomorrow there will be some sort of a walk back. Maybe there will be some sort of an effort to put out these fires. But it's been, I think it's been since COVID, since I've had emails with this level of anger. People are furious. Donald Trump was elected for two reasons. He was elected because the economy was garbage, inflation had priced people out of things, and he was elected because of the anger about immigration that is all across this country, coast to coast. People are tired of it. So they don't want to hear this stuff. They simply don't. Look, you want to hear this? This is a doozy. In 1950, you know the percentage of 30-year-olds who were married and owned a home? Over 50%. You know what that number is now? Less than 15%. When the American people are finding what their parents had and grandparents had to be unobtainable, they don't want to hear how important it is for Microsoft to have another 35,000 people from India come in. They don't want to hear it. They certainly don't want to hear that they're not skilled enough to do the job. They can't even be trained. Oh, no, don't worry. It's just going to be temporary. We'll just bring a bunch of them. We'll just fly a bunch of them in to train you, you stupid rubes.
Again, we can't snap our fingers and say, you're going to learn how to build ships overnight. We want to bring semiconductor industry back to the U.S. There are going to be big facilities in Arizona. So I think the president's vision here is to bring in overseas workers where these jobs went.
Who have skills.
Who have the skills, 3, 5, 7 years to train the U.S. workers. Then they can go home. The U.S. workers fully take over.
Yeah, that doesn't land well. This kind of stuff doesn't
this is
land
the greatest
well.
Economy we've ever had. Their talking points, oh, of course, by the way, the only thing is beef. Beef.
Coffee.
Is a little high because the ranchers are doing great. Coffee, we're going to lower some tariffs. We're going to have some coffee come in. We're going to take care of all this stuff very quickly, very easily. It's surgical. It's beautiful to watch. Their line is prices, affordability. That's the new word, affordability. It's much less expensive under Trump. And I haven't been here long. 9 months is not a long time. But look at what I've done to energy. Look at the price of gasoline going from $4.50 to $2.50 or $2.70. It's going to be $2 gasoline.
People want affordable.
Well, the economy is my thing. And we have the greatest economy in history.
Are Republicans not selling it enough?
Yes,
for
the Republicans don't talk about it.
Yeah, so they need to do a better job on Capitol Hill.
The Democrats give false talk, and the Republicans, and I say it all the time, Republicans have to talk about the fact that prices are down.
Let me explain something that's a strategic mistake. There's no question the Biden administration carpet bombed this economy for 4 years. That's not debatable. The spending, the insanity, that they destroyed it. The Trump administration has only had 10 months, 11 months. He's right about that. Taking ownership of what Joe Biden burnt down is a strategic mistake. Now, I'm not saying Trump can't get it turned around. He has a lot of very sharp ideas when it comes to the economy. He does. It probably will take time. There's always a lag. I'm not saying he can't get it turned around. But stepping up right now and saying, it's never been better, greatest economy ever, what that's doing is That's assuming ownership of something that you don't even fully own yet. We're still working out all the crap Joe Biden did. I think it's a strategic mistake out of the White House, because you're out there every day telling people the economy's great, I fixed it all. People don't feel like the economy is fixed. People don't feel like prices are down. They have not seen inflation go down. That has not happened at all. The rate of increase has slowed down, but inflation hasn't gone back to where it was 5 years ago. You step up and say, I did it, my economy. Well, if I don't like the economy, and if I'm a normie and I don't understand how economics work and how there's a lag, if I don't like that, that's a problem. Jesse, I always dismissed Costco cheese pizza as kids' food. Lately, I've come to appreciate the obscene amount of cheese on the pizza. What say you? Cheese pizza in all forms is kids' food. Get some freaking meat on your pizza. Dudes don't eat cheese pizza. Get some sausage on there. Get some pepperoni on there. Maybe some bacon on there. Chris, we can use all beef pepperoni or whatever. It doesn't matter. Let's get some meat of some kind on the pizza. And while we're at what, Chris? What about the taco pizza? I don't eat taco pizza. These colors don't run, Chris. Remember that, all right? And remember to switch to Pure Talk. Speaking of companies that didn't have to be blasted into hiring Americans, long before all this America First talk, Pure Talk focused on American jobs. Companies never do that anymore. It's all the bottom line. Well, why would I hire these Americans? I have this foreign slave labor. I'll pay them 60 cents on the dollar. What? Not Pure Talk. I love when you send me your emails. Jesse, I just hung up with Pure Talk. You were right. They're so pleasant. They speak English. That's because they're Americans. Hired right here at home. Pure Talk doesn't just give lip service to patriotism. Their CEO almost died for this country, and his friends did. They hire Americans because they love America. You don't need Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile. Pure Talk will save you money. They're on the same towers. You switch to Pure Talk. Pick up your phone right now, but dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
This is an iHeart podcast.